Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Yes. Thank you for coming. I just want to say to Sam and all of Radiant College and from Radiant Church, thank you so much for coming. Thanks for taking your time coming up north where it's beautiful and it's cool and joining us. But really, all sincerity, thank you for coming. Amen. Amen and amen. So anyway, we're going to have a little bit more at the end, right? We're not done. Okay, thank you, Jackson. All right. So anyway, I'm going to be introducing my son for a second, but I want to have my wife, Gina, come up here. So amen. Now, having my son, Devin, speak tonight, which it's an honor to have him. Amen. But I want to say, I know he's going to give a little bit of his own testimony, but I just want to say from the perspective of the mom and the dad, but there was a time frame where it didn't look, am I allowed to say this, son? Okay, all right. I thought, what happened? What did we do wrong? And I spent about a year being discouraged. But you know what? But I didn't give up on God, but I was discouraged. But if I can say, as you listen to Devin tonight, let me just say that nothing is impossible. There is nothing impossible. Amen? Faith. So if you're believing for wayward children, grandchildren, parents, nephews, nieces, whatever, nothing's impossible. If you're looking to still be healed in your body or a change in your health, nothing's impossible. Amen? Continue to believe. Continue to trust. Because God is the God of the impossible. Amen? So I just want to say that to encourage everybody. And with that, I would just like to introduce my son, Devin Nanke. Amen.
Awesome, awesome. I'm so excited to be here. So excited to be here. You have no idea. I expected to know a lot more of you, but I haven't been here in years, so I guess that makes sense, but it's so good to see a lot of your faces, and like my dad said, my name is Devin, and I'm just really, really excited to be here. I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony and go through a passage of scripture, but before I do that, I wanted to not only honor my parents, but also just honor all of you guys. This church has played such a role, not only in my life. I'm going to cry, okay. Not only in my life, but in my parents, my family's life, my entire family, this church has really just always been there for us and the people and the encouragement and just, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I just want to honor you guys. I want to honor my parents. I got to look over here. I want to honor my parents. You guys are seriously amazing and you love unconditionally, not just your kids, but people. And to see your love for others, to see your love for the church is just so special. I mean, 56 years old and your second year in being a pastor, it's just incredible to me. Like, that is so, yeah, round of applause for them. It's incredible. Like, just a quick word of encouragement, no matter how young you are, from the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here, like, God really has a plan for every single one of you, no matter how old you are. Like, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, like, to see them stepping in and just God doing amazing things. I can't wait to see what God continues to do through you guys and what God does outside of these walls in your guys' life. So also a shout out to my grandparents over here. Yeah, they are just wonderful. My entire family being here, it's just amazing. But they are wonderful people who are praying people. My grandma's a prayer warrior. And when I say prayer warrior, I mean like prayer warrior. Like on her knees every morning praying for every single one of us grandchildren. And I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where our family would be. I don't know where my dad would be without her prayers. So I'm just so thankful to have a praying family and to have a praying church. Because you guys are a praying church. And how many of you know that prayer really does change things? It really does. And if you, like he said, if you guys are praying for children, if you're praying for brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, whatever it is, continue to pray. Continue to pray, because like I said, I don't know where I'd be without this group of people. You guys are amazing. And so with that, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in this place right now, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight, God. We're expecting you to break chains, to break bondages, to break generational curses, to just do amazing things, God, because we know where two or three or more are gathered together, you are there, God. So we know you're here, God. So move in a powerful way, God. And it's in your name we pray, amen and amen. So today I'm going to be talking about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, and this is a very near and dear to my heart, obviously. And God has just showed me so much through this story in my entire life, but especially recently. I've just really been diving into that story and been like, God, show me what you want to show me. I know I wanted to talk about it for my first sermon, so I was like, God, show me what you want to show me. So he's really just shown me some amazing things. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 24. And like I said, if I can be honest, I know we're not supposed to have favorites, like favorite scriptures or favorite passages, but this is like my favorite, if I'm being honest. It's right there for me. So I just love it so, so much. So I'm just going to hop right into it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. If you don't, we'll pop it on the Sky Bible for you right here. So it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him, filled with compassion, ran for him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Just like we had spaghetti today. I mean, that's a celebration. That really is. I mean, my mom's spaghetti is, I mean, any reason to celebrate for that spaghetti, I'm in. So, like I said, I'm just going to go straight into my testimony. So I started attending this church at 9 years old. My parents decided to move out to what my dad calls Cheenertucky at 9 years old. At this time, I basically played video games and I played basketball. That was it. Those were the two things. So if I wasn't outside unless I was driving to the basketball game or driving to the basketball court. So when we were moving, it was like, okay, I'm excited to be around my friends, but this is just, I don't know if I want to live here, but it ended up being the best thing ever for them and for me. So I met some amazing people here who I think of our old youth pastor, Matt Seifert, who's just an incredible man of God, a powerful man of God. My dad still talks to him a lot. I try to talk to him here and there, but, you know, busy. But he's just an amazing man, and he was just such a great leader in my life who taught me so much. And looking back today, I think back and I'm like, man, like he really had a heart for students. He really had a heart for people. Like he loved people, and he would drive 40 minutes and pack out his car, like illegally pack out his car. I'm talking like three people in the back, lay in the trunk, like lay in the back seat. Like however we can get you in this car and get you to church, we're gonna do it. And it was just really, really powerful. And then I think of my friend Luke Shaw, who to this day is still my best friend in the world. I talk to him like once a week or once every couple weeks. He's doing amazing. Got a great family in Virginia, but who was just in my life from 9 all the way to today, was there through every single season, through the good, the bad, the ugly, he was there. And it's just the community I found here that I still have is so incredible. Like, I don't know where I'd be in life without that good group of people. I know I would have gone a lot farther in sin and gotten a lot deeper hole if it wasn't for them. So I'm just very, very thankful for that. And then at that time, from about 9 to 18, I was coming to this church. All my friends were coming to church, so I came to church. But I never really felt like I had, like, this true relationship with God. Like, I felt like I was serving my parents' God. I felt like I was serving my friends' God. But it was never like really, truly my relationship with the creator of the universe. Like it never was that for me. And so at 17, I start dating this girl from high school. And how many of you know when you date a girl from high school, 9.9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out. And this was one of those 9.9 times out of 10. So from this time, I end up moving in with her. I live with her for about the age of 18 to 21. And during this time, I just fall into a very, very dark hole, like depressed, full of anxiety, full of fear of the future, full of fear of now. Like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't want to be here. Like, it literally got to the point where I didn't want to be here. I started smoking weed, and I probably, like, just here and there with, like, my friends once in a while. And at first, it was just like, I had this void in my life, and I was like, I'll just go do it with them every once in a while. And it was filling the void. At first, it was like, this is great. I feel awesome. This is filling that void that I need. And then it started becoming every other day thing. And then it was an everyday thing. And then it was like, I always have to do it all day, all the time. And now, it's no longer filling that void. So now, I have this void in my heart still, but I'm also addicted to this thing that I keep having to go back to because I'm addicted to it, but it's not filling the hole. So now I'm in a deeper, darker hole because I'm still struggling with the fear. I'm still struggling with the anxiety. I still have that void in me, and I'm chained to something that I don't want to be chained on top of these other addictions. So I got to this point where I'm like, I'm in my car, and I'm like, God, like, I know you're real. I do. I know you're real. I've seen what you've done in my family. Like, if you heard my dad's full testimony, you'd be like, God's real 100%. 100%. To see the turnaround is just incredible. So I knew that God was real, and I was sitting in my car, and I was like, God, I know you're real, but if I continue on this path, either one, I'm going to end my life, I'm going to kill myself, or two, I'm going to go down a darker hole, and I'm going to turn to other drugs because this isn't hidden anymore. Like, it's just not enough anymore. So I remember at this point, and the thing was, is my family kind of has a dark past of addictions, dark past of struggle with that. So it felt like I was walking down that path, and it felt like I was cursed. Like, I was down the path. I was screwed. I was out of luck. Like, I was down that path, and I wasn't going to be able to come back. And I'm sitting there in my car crying, and I just feel like this overwhelming sense of peace. Like, a peace that goes beyond all understanding, because I should not have had peace at that time. I remember I was high in my car. And so I had this overwhelming just sense of peace. And I'm like, okay, God, I know I want to change some things. I need to change some things in my life. And I want to go to church. I want to get with some good people. So I start calling my my dad. I start calling my friends and just, you know, like, testing the waters. Like, hey, like, I'm thinking of coming to church. Like, I'm not sure, but I kind of want to come to church. And so he's like, yeah, of course. Like, go to Radiant. And I'm like, how far away is that? He's like, 30 minutes. I'm like, I'm super lazy. I do not want to drive 30 minutes. Like, 30 minutes for me at that time was like 2 hours for a regular person. Like, I was like, I cannot do that. So he recommends me two other churches. I end up going to both of them, and they were cool. Like, there was nothing wrong with them. I really liked the pastor, the second one, actually. He was awesome, awesome word, but there just wasn't a community there. Like, I wanted to be around people my age. I know I wanted friendships that could point me to Jesus. I know I wanted, because at that time, I kind of dropped all my other friends, all the other people, all of my friends who I was doing the other things with. I wasn't really hanging out with them. So I knew I wanted to be around good people, and I wanted to be around people who were really going to encourage me and love me. So I finally started going to Radiant. The drive was tough. Gas was a lot cheaper, but I finally did it. And I kind of just got plugged in right away. It was awesome. My dad had some connections with the people there, so I was able to kind of get plugged in right away. Met a lot of people here who are still here today. I met that first day, and I've had such an impact on my life, and I've been so amazing, and I've been so encouraging, and I remember the love that they showed me that first day. The first day, it was that love where it's like, hey, we don't know you, but we're so glad you're here, and we want you to continue to be here, and we care about you. And it really just in that moment had an impact on my life. At this time, I'm like, okay, I want to start serving. I really do. Like, my dad was like, hey, start serving. It'll be good for you. So I'm like, I want to do that. So I start serving. And at that time, I'm still struggling with some addictions. I'm still struggling with bondage. Because how many of you know, you get saved right away. It's not just like, boom, everything broken off of your life at one time with the snap of a finger. But, I mean, he was doing amazing things in my life. But I was just struggling with addictions. I was struggling with bondage. And I remember this moment like it was yesterday. And I have a horrible memory. Like, bad. it's starting to get concerning. I was telling my girlfriend the other day, I said, we need to set up a doctor's appointment because I don't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. So it's really bad. But this moment, I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm sitting on my bed and I got tears running down my eyes. And I'm like, God, I know you have something special for me. I know you're calling me into something amazing. But these addictions and these things that are over my life are holding me down. And I can't do it. I've been trying to fight it. I've watched all the YouTube videos on discipline. I've watched all the YouTube videos on how to stop addiction 101. And it's not working. I can do it for one day or 2 days, but I need this broken off of my life. And it's in that moment that I really feel like God just said to me, I love you in the addiction. I love you in the struggle. I love you in what you're going through. And I'm here for you. Those things, I don't want you to stop those things just because they're bad. I want you to stop those things because God has so much more for you. I was really trying to do it in my own strength. And I kept saying, like, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. But I was fighting it in my own strength. I wasn't truly giving it to him. It wasn't until I had a revelation of his grace for me, a revelation of his love for me, that in that struggle, he loved me. I didn't need to get perfect and then he was going to love me. No, he loved me in the struggle. He loved me in the addiction. So I'm going to go into three quick points in this prodigal son story that really have just, God's been putting on my heart, and that in that moment even just really had an impact on me. So the first point I have is that the past has no power. The past has no power. We see in Luke chapter 15, verses 21 and 22, he comes up to the Father and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. And I think of this moment, it's almost like I feel like he has like a list. He's coming to the Father with the list, like, hey, I did this wrong, I did this wrong, I did this wrong. These are all of the reasons why I cannot be your son. I can be a servant, maybe you can give me some food every once in a while, but these are the reason why that I can't be your son. And the Father immediately is like, hey, boom, cuts him off and says that, quick, bring the robe. Bring the ring, bring the sandals, put it on him, basically bringing him right back into the family. He said, no, I don't want to hear all that. You're my son, and I want you back in the family. I want, your identity is son. Your identity is not servant. Your identity is son. And what he does is he throws the robe on him, and that robe represents God's grace. It represents the covering of our sin. And it's so amazing. In Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, it says this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. I mean, boom, that scripture is it. Like, he came and that finished work on the cross, we're able to be seen righteous. Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. What's so amazing to me in the story is that he's dirty. The son is dirty. Like, if you think back in the story, he's been with the pigs. He's been laying with the pigs, sleeping with the pigs, in the mud, in the smelliness. He doesn't have time to shower. So he's dirty. He's hungry. He's not eating any food. He's probably malnourished. So I imagine when the Father sees him, it's like he almost doesn't even recognize him. Like, he's dirty. He's malnourished. Like, it's got to be a scary point for the Father, but the Father immediately runs. As soon as the son turns towards him, as soon as the son turns towards the house and the Father, the Father picks, I mean, at this time, he would have picked up his little garment and he would have ran all the way to him and he embraces him right there in that moment. I mean, God really meets us where we're at. Like, he turned and the Father was there. He didn't have to clean. He wasn't like, hey, I need you to come in, take a shower. We can talk a little bit, and then maybe I'll let you back in. Maybe I'll let you back as a servant. No, he's like, hey, we're having a party right now. You might have time to shower. You probably don't. So we're having that time right now. We are going to have a party for you. See, God's not looking at our mistakes and the things that we've done wrong. He sees you. He sees his daughter. He sees you. He sees his son. And he sees you, and he sees you as righteous wherever you're at. Which brings me to my second point, which is the present. The present. So after that day that I was sitting on my bed and I had that revelation of God's love for me, I had that revelation of his grace for me. I mean, it wasn't immediately easy. Like, it wasn't. It wasn't sunshine and rainbows. I wish it was, but it was not. It was really, really hard. And see, I have this picture in my head, and it was almost like I was holding all these things, right? I'm holding all these struggles, all this weight, and God was breaking them off of my life. And, you know, he's breaking one thing off my life, and he's breaking one thing off of my life, and he's breaking one thing off my life. And at some point, it's like I'm standing straight up, but all those things are at my feet. All those struggles, all the addictions, all the bondage is still sitting there at my feet. The chains that he had broken off of my life, and I could have stayed where I was at. I got saved. I knew God loved me. I knew he extended his grace towards me. I could have, you know, partied every once in a while or hung out with the same group of friends, but I knew that he had so much more for me. So I was like, you know what? These chains, this bondage isn't going to move. So I need to walk away from that. Because the chains, the bondage isn't going to move, but I have to. And so I'm walking to what God has for me. I'm walking closer and closer to what he has for me. And those things are getting farther and farther away. Until it's like, you know, I look back to like a year ago, a year and a half ago, and I'm like, I can't even see those things anymore. I can't even see those struggles that I was in. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years of addiction that at that time was still at my feet. I could have easily been like, oh, you know what? It's just pornography. Like, it doesn't hurt anybody. Or it's just talking crap about my friends. It doesn't hurt anybody. Or it's just this or that. Like, it's so easy to pick those things back up. It really is. And by the grace of God, I walked towards what he had for me, and those things got farther and farther away. See, a lot of the times, our identity is in those chains. Our identity is in the bondage. So what happens then, right? Like, what made me Devin is all Lane right there. What I thought made me Devin was Lane right there, and I'm all the way over here, so I'm like this, like, who am I? And what's so amazing is if we see in chapter 22 that he puts the ring. So he starts off, he puts the robe, then he puts the ring. What does the ring represent? It represents identity. See, in that moment, I was struggling. I didn't have identity. God brought me into a place with a group of friends. He brought me into a church that was amazing, and he was shaping my identity. My identity was in child of God, son of God. It wasn't in my partying. It wasn't in my job. It wasn't in my money, but it was in being a child of God and what he has for me. And it's just so, so amazing to me. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." See, that's clearly telling us to deny ourselves, to deny those things that we thought was us, to deny those things, the ways we used to operate. And it's hard. I mean, it's going to be hard. Like, I want to say, no, it might be hard. No, it's going to be hard. Like, that was the hardest thing ever for me, to give up the ways I had been doing things, the ways I thought were things, and to submit under people and be like, okay, you know what? I'm 19. I don't know everything. Like, I really thought I knew everything at 20 years old, which is wild to me now, because, like, this generation, like, we really think we know everything. And, like, looking back now and, like, understanding leadership and understanding, like, when my dad tells me something that I hate to hear, but I know it's right, I'm like, okay, that's true. That's true. I don't want to be mad at that. So, I mean, and what's crazy is he's going to be with us. Like, he's going to be with us when we're going through those struggles. Because at first, when you're getting away from those things, it's going to be hard. You're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know who to turn to. But he is with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. His grace is sufficient. He's going to be there. He's going to get you through it. It might be hard, but I promise you he will. And that, I mean, he's still breaking that bondage off of my life. He's still breaking things off of my life. But I think that's beautiful. It's almost like if he just broke this bondage off of me in one day and I'm just like perfect, then what? You know, like, he continues to refine me. He continues to build things in me. He continues to lead me. He continues to guide me. And it's just so, so amazing. And one thing, when I was coming out of those things, like I said, like, I thought I was, all those things were Devin. Those were me. And so now what do I do? But how many of you are thankful that he doesn't just forgive our sins? Of course he forgives our sins, but he forgives our sins and then he places us into purpose. So my third point is placed in purpose. See, in Luke chapter 15, verses 22, the same verse we've been in, he puts the robe on him, he puts the ring on him, and then he puts the sandals on him. And this sandals represents purpose, it represents peace. And one thing that's beautiful is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, it says, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace." See, we're able to have peace in our purpose. Like, we're able to know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've done, that he does have a purpose for us and that we can walk in peace in that. I know for when I first came to the Lord and when I first was like, okay, God, what's my purpose? He was like, hey, I want you to be a pastor. And I'm like, no way. I have to not do that. Like, I had such bad stage fright. I did not want to be in front of people. I did not want to talk in front of people. And I'm like, I am not doing that. Maybe you can just throw me on the offering buckets every once in a while. Boom, I'll pass that around. But I do not want to be a pastor. And it was like, at first, that really scared me. And as I continued to walk in what God had for me, as I continue to read the Bible and understand how much he loved me, to understand that it's not about me. Like, he was breaking down walls of pride, that it's not about me, but it's about what he's placed in me and what he's going to do through me. And it was just so amazing because he gave me that peace. He gave me the peace to know, okay, I'm not done with you. I know you thought, I mean, I'm 23 and I'm just joining college. Like, at first for me, that was kind of scary because all my classmates straight out of high school, like 18, 19, and I'm 23. So at first it was kind of scary, but and I was going through some stuff right before that, but I knew God wanted me to do it. And how many people know that when God wants you to do something, there's a peace that comes with that. I mean, there is like, I mean, it's a doesn't make sense peace, but I knew God had that for me. So when I started going to Radiant and I really got plugged in and serving, I was so glad I was doing that, but I knew that he had more for me. I knew that he had more for me. So he started opening up doors. He started opening up opportunities in my relationships with people, in serving and these other things. And it was just such a special moment for me because it was almost like he was giving me a little peekaboo into what he had for me. It was like, okay, I want you to do offering. I'm like, whoa, I do not want to like talk about the offering. And then he was like, so I did that. And it was scary, but I did it. And then it was like, hey, I want you to do announcements. And I'm like, I did the offering, but the announcements, that's next level. So I did the announcements and it was like, okay, God, like you're using me. This is awesome. And then this opportunity comes up and I'm like, definitely not. That's okay. Announcements. Yes, I can do announcements. It's in front of a little screen and I can do that little script, but like to make my own sermon, but it just came with a special, special piece. And I'm really just still so honored to be here. And like I said, now I'm attending Bible school. If you would have told me a year ago that I'd be attending school, one, preaching in front of people or talking in front of people in general, I literally would have laughed in your face and been like, you're an idiot. I will never do that. I will never do that. Because I was a type where I was like, I don't want to go to college. I can just take that money and put that into something else. I kind of got a business mind. So I was like, I can take all the tuition and put it into something else. But God was like, I need you to do this. I want you to do this. And I have something for you in this. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I did it, and it's just been so amazing to see what God's done in my life. It's been so amazing to see the way he's already worked. I mean, just on my understanding of the Bible, like, I know I wanted to go to be a pastor, but now I'm like, I'm learning so much about how much he loves me, and I'm learning so much about faith and his grace and his love for me and just, like, a personal, personal relationship for me. And it's just really, really, really amazing. See, I believe God has so much amazing things in store for me. I believe God has so much in store for Radiant College and just the whole Radiant Church in general. But I also believe God has amazing things for this church. And I know he's going to do amazing things through them, through so many of you guys, so many faithful leaders here who I think back to 5, 6, 7 years ago, who you guys are still here. You're still serving. You're still loving people. And I mean, keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's worth it. It's worth it. God's using you guys. He's doing amazing things, and he's going to continue to build up this church and be on for the ride. Be on for the ride. Serve, get plugged in, help, because I'm telling you, God's going to do amazing things in the youth. He's going to do amazing things in the adult service, in the babies, everywhere. And I'm really, really, like, genuinely, like, I call my dad, and when he tells me what's happening here, I'm like, I'm fired up, for real. I'm excited. I'm like, keep going, keep going. I see so much growth, and I'm so happy for you guys. So if you guys want to bow your heads and just pray for me, pray with me. I think there's a few groups of people in here. I think there's some people who maybe you've never had a relationship with the Lord. You've never had a true relationship with God. Or maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like the prodigal son who you had a relationship, but you turned away. You never felt like you had a true relationship with him. I just want to give you guys the opportunity to give your life to the Lord or to come back to the Lord. And so on the count of three, I'm just going to have you guys raise your hands real quick. We're not going to like call you up to the front and do anything crazy. But if that's you, if you just go ahead and raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just give it a couple more minutes. Awesome. 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 I also want to do something a little bit different, a little bit special. I'm going to have some people pray. We're going to go back into a time of worship, and I'm going to have some people pray up here. So if you guys have family members, if you guys have people you're believing that are going to come back, I really encourage you guys to come up here, pray with someone, agree with someone. Sometimes it's just praying with someone and really, really getting a mindset shift and understanding that I know you've been praying for a long time. I know you've been believing for a long time, but no matter what, to keep earnestly praying, to keep praying with just an earnesty, because I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. And I'm so thankful that my parents, I'm so thankful for my grandparents, I'm so thankful for this entire church for praying for me. And I have those people. My family has those people. So if that's you, I'm going to have, Mom, if you could come up. I know I didn't ask you, but if you could come up. I'm actually going to have a few college students pray as well. So Amaya, Matthew, if you could too. Grandma Carol, if you could come here. Grandpa Daryl, if you want to come up here as well. So if you guys are struggling with that or really just want to agree with someone, we're going to have a couple people up here, and then we're going to continue in worship. So if you guys want to stand, we're going to move into another song of worship. And I really believe God's going to do some amazing things. If you have prayer for anything else as well, come up here, pray with someone, agree with someone. Lives are going to be changed. Chains are going to be broken. And I really, really believe that tonight.